Om Ajnatimirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Apparent contradiction here, or an unlikely event, that Mridvangri Hatam Vyavartata, struck by the feet of Krishna, which are soft, Pravala Mridu, soft like a new leaf. The cart turned over. It doesn't seem very possible. We'll see afterwards that the residents of Vrindavan, they saw that the hand cart suddenly collapsed. And they asked, how? Is it possible? And little children have been there, said, because Krishna kicked it. And they didn't think it was possible, which is quite understandable. But how could a cart collapse just because a child touched it with his foot? Especially in traditional cultures, everything was made very nicely. If they made a cart, they'd make it strong so it would last. Even now, if you want to make a cart that's going to go on the country lanes, they have to make it very strong, because the country roads are very bumpy, and usually very often they load it very heavily with bricks, or even a lot of grass can be very heavy. So they have to make it very strong. Traditionally, things are made very nicely and strong, not like nowadays where everything is rubbish. You see, the old temples, they're still standing. This temple is now built, but we don't know how long it will stand, because this something made in modern age generally is not very lasting. Even when it's new, often you see new buildings, especially in India. They're new, but they already look old when they're new. They look like they're already falling apart, and they are falling apart. Many times we see. So things used to be made very nicely and strong, so it didn't seem to make sense that the handcart could collapse simply by the kicking of the child. It doesn't seem to make any sense. Now, on the other hand, there must have been some reason. If there's a cart with various utensils in the corner of a courtyard, and all of a sudden it scatters and collapses. Now, a follower of modern scientific theory might think it's very scientific that this could happen by chance. They have Big Bang theory, that there's all of a sudden, without any cause, there's a Big Bang. So all of a sudden, if a cart just collapses, they could say, well, it's a little bang. If there's a Big Bang, there can be a little bang. Why not? It could just happen by chance. But more sane people, those that don't study science in college, for instance, they would understand that it doesn't happen by chance. There must be some reason. But what is the reason? The little children said, it was because Krishna, little baby, kicked the handcart. That doesn't seem very possible, because the child is very weak. Young child is very weak, generally you think. And also, even if he were to kick the cart, even if he was to kick it very strongly, it's not very likely that the cart would collapse. It's more likely that Krishna would become injured. Because a soft baby, if that comes in contact with some hard substance, then that which is less strong, if anything is going to break, that which is less strong is going to break. So especially young babies, their bones are very soft. They're not very strongly formed. So we would think that the baby's bones would break. Later on in this 10th canto, we see how the gopis are feeling much anxiety that Krishna is going out in the forest, taking out the cows with no shoes, and how the little stones must be pricking his feet, because Krishna refused his mother when he first went out taking out the calves. His mother, Yashoda, she wanted to give some shoes. He refused. He said, I'm not going to wear shoes. That's our gopa, our cowherd caste. We traditionally, we never wear shoes. We never heard of such a thing. And anyway, if I wear shoes, then you have to make shoes for all the calves also. So you have to make thousands and thousands. Why should I be in any better position than the calves? So he was refusing. But the gopis, they were feeling a lot of pain. When Krishna was away in the forest, first pain they were thinking that we can't see Krishna. He's in the forest. Another pain they're thinking how the little dry grass and the thorns and the stones, they're pricking Krishna's feet. Sometimes the gopis, they also felt, that's described there, that Krishna would put his feet on their breasts. So they were thinking that Krishna's feet may be hurt because our breasts are very hard. They were thinking like that. So what to speak of Krishna at a very young age? He's kicking the cart. So it would seem that it would cause him much pain. But it's not. Rather, he's causing the Shakata Asura much pain by killing him. Because he's Krishna. He appears to be a young child, but even in his very childhood, he's always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't stop being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although he appears to the residents of Vrindavan to be a helpless child. And so, usually he's in that mood also. Usually he's acting like that. He cries when Mother Yashoda is not feeding. He wants the breast milk. The whole Damodar Leela is there. How Krishna was insisting, you should come and feed me immediately. But Mother Yashoda thought, well, the milk is on the fire. I have to tend to that or all the milk will boil over. That's also meant for Krishna, that from this milk we want to make yogurt and from that we'll make butter for feeding Krishna. So it's all for Krishna. There's so many services to do. You see, even Mother Yashoda, sometimes devotees think I have too many services. Mother Yashoda had the same thing. She couldn't do both things at once. She couldn't breastfeed Krishna and at the same time she had to see to the milk. So she had to decide what to do, one or the other. Every mother has the same thing. There's a saying in English, a woman's work is never done. Because in the home, there are so many things to do. So Mother Yashoda was in the same situation. So she decided that even though Krishna was directly asking for milk, what happened here? It's already stopped. Your tape is finished. So even though Krishna had some immediate need, she thought, I have to do something else in the meantime. Shreyas and prayas. Long term. That means seeing in the long term what is required and seeing the immediate. So Krishna being a little child, he could only see his immediate need. That Mother Yashoda, my mother is not feeding me. So he became very angry. So we know the Damodar Leela, how Krishna was tied up, but he dragged the mortar and dragged down the two trees who were actually, in previous life, of the Arjuna trees, they were the demigods, the sons of Kuber, the Nalakuvar and Manigriva. So in this way, Krishna, he mixes his being the darling child of Mother Yashoda, Rajendra Kumar, his childhood pastimes. That's mixed with his being the Supreme Personality of Godhead and performing activities which people cannot even imagine. People cannot imagine that you can kick, a young child can kick a cart and destroy it. Maybe a very strong man can do such a thing. Maybe, not every man. But someone who's very strong, by their kick, a cart can be destroyed. There are some people, you see even today, you'll see there was some man, was it in Sri Lanka? He was pulling a fully loaded truck with a rope in his teeth. Did anyone see that? That came in. Was it in Sri Lanka? No, maybe in London or in USA. Huh? In Denmark. There are a lot of big strong fellows there. Huh? One man pulled an airplane. I saw someone pulling a truck, fully loaded truck with a rope held in his teeth. So, of course, I mean, it's quite remarkable. It doesn't really do him any good in any way, but gets his photo in the newspaper and maybe in the Guinness Book of Records also. Apart from that, I mean, it doesn't really do him much good. In his next life, he'll become a donkey or a buffalo or something. That's what his pleasure in life is, pulling heavy weights. So he can become a buffalo and pull some heavy weights. So it might be that some very strong man can do such a thing, but a young child is not expected. But Krishna does it. In this way, the two facets of Krishna, being the darling child of the Vrajavasis and being the inconceivably powerful personality of Godhead, these two things are mixed in Krishna's leela. Now, most of the time in Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't exhibit his opulence of being the Supreme Personality of God. In other words, his opulences of power. Most of the time, even though we read most of the stories, Prabhupada pointed out once that most, if you read Krishna Leela in the Bhagavatam 10th canto, you'll find there's Gopi Leela, that is there. And Makan Chori Leela, that Leela is there. But most of the Leelas, Prabhupada noted, is killing the demons. If numerically, if you count, you'll find that most of the pastimes in 10th canto, sometimes people say, we're very interested in 10th canto. Oh, well, that's good, because in the 10th canto we have the killing of Jarasandha, Dantavakra, Shishupal. It's full of killing so many different demons. So that is there, we'll find more. But actually, time-wise, in terms of time, especially in Vrindavan, if you take throughout the day, practically Prabhupada described that practically every day Krishna was killing some demon while he was taking the cowherd boys, cowherd boys out in the forest. Practically every day he was killing some demon, although they're not all noted. Some of the most prominent demons are noted, but Prabhupada explained that practically every day Krishna was killing some demon, which is his fun also, because young boys, they play games like that anyway. Young boys, they always like to, because Krishna is taking the cows and cowherd boys out, so they're playing while they're taking the cows. So young boys, they like to play games of killing demons. That's why until recently in India, the young boys, they'd play, what games would they play? They'd play games of Ram Leela, killing Ravana, all the heroic feats. Young boys, they like to play such games. So Krishna and the cowherd boys, they also like to play such games, but they had real demons. Not otherwise, usually in young boys, one boy takes the role of we used to say goodies and baddies, the good guys and the bad guys. So someone has to take the role of the bad guy, and someone takes the role of the good guy, and then the good guy comes and kills the bad guys. So they were real bad guys. Real life. Trinavrata is going to come. You don't know, he's going to come. Shakadasur is here. Putana, already gone. The first demon Krishna killed is a lady. Not exactly a lady. Lady is a respectable term. Rakshasa. Right. First is a woman. So they're real demons. But if you take in terms of time, most of the time Krishna is playing. There's a nice description in the Bhagavatam how the cowherd boys would play. The birds are flying in the sky and the boys would try to, because they don't fly exactly straight, so they try to follow their path. And then they would, the frogs would be croaking and they would imitate. The frogs would be on the side of the river. When they see the boys come, they jump in the river and the boys would jump in after them. Or there'd be some well, so the boys would shout some noise, the noise would come back. And then so then the boys would shout some insult at the supposed person in the well, and the insult would come back. Especially so many pastimes with the monkeys they used to have. Different games, the fighting games. So that's described there, how the boys were playing. And then sometimes some demon would come, Krishna would kill. They were quite confident. Krishna will kill. They were so confident that Krishna will kill the demons that even Aghasura came. Aghasura in the form of a python. So python means he's a lazy fellow. He doesn't go anywhere. He just sits, and when some food comes, grabs it, crushes it, and swallows it. So Aghasura was sitting there with his mouth open, and all the boys thought, oh, this must be another demon. Every day there's a different demon. There's so many different demons, all in all different forms. This must be another demon come to kill us. So he wants us to enter his mouth. It smells pretty horrible. It's a bad smell coming out of his mouth. But anyway, let's see, what's the fun? Let's enter his mouth, because Krishna will save us. They were quite confident. And Krishna thought, it's quite amazing. I mean, people will just walk into the mouth of a snake, huge snake. So then Krishna, of course, had to save them also. So there's so many demons Krishna was killing. Most of the time, he was so many different activities, sports, playing with the cowherd boys. When he was a little older than the gopis, there was so many different pastimes with the gopis also, during the daytime, at night also. So both things are there. And Krishna, most of the time, he himself is in the mood that I'm a young boy. That's why he gets angry when Mother Yashoda doesn't feed him. He says, my mother's not feeding me. He's getting upset. He himself, he forgets that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He forgets that. So when the gopis are clapping, the elderly gopis, little boy Krishna is dancing. All the great demigods, they're offering prayers to Krishna. Young Brahma, Varamendra, Rudra, Maruta, Stundanti, Divyai, Stavaya, Vedai, Sangha, Padakrama, Poshanedaya, Gayanti, Yang Samagaha. All the Upanishads, all the Vedas with the Upanishads, highly technical terms, which can be understood by very learned people. They are glorifying Krishna. Dhyana Vastata, Tadgatena. What is that? Dhyana Vastata Tadgatena, Pashanti Yam Yogino. I left some word out. Into Ramadhi Ekshabda Bulletin. Dhyana Vastata Tadgatena, Manasa, Pashanti Yam Yogino. The yogis in their meditation, very difficult meditation that is meant for seeing Krishna. Yasyantam Navidu Sura Sura Gana Devaya Tasmai Namaha. This great Supreme Personality of Godhead, who even the demigods and the demons between them, they cannot find out what is the end of his glories. That same Krishna, his little boy, and the gopis are singing, clapping their hands, and he's dancing. That is Yoga Maya. But then somehow, in the middle of his pastimes, if there's a need for it, then suddenly he remembers I'm God. There's some demon, this hand cut. The demon has taken the form of a hand cut. He's a demon. He wants to kill me. Okay, I'll kill him first. Balaram, when he was with that Kalambasura, they were playing with him as a young boy. So they're playing, and then Kalambasura was carrying away Balaram. They're just playing as little boys. I mean, God, when he's in the mood of God, he doesn't jump around with cowherd boys. He's God. People come and worship him. So when he's God, when he's not remembering he's God, he's playing with the cowherd boys. But then when this cowherd boy was carrying away Balaram, he thought, wait a minute, I don't know, who's this character? Why is he carrying away? I don't recognize this boy. Who is this? Then, switching into a different mode, the yoga maya gets turned off a bit. And he thinks, wait a minute, this is a demon. Okay, I'll kill him. I'm God. He's a big demon. This big demon can kill millions of people, but I'm more powerful than him. Boom! Hit him on the head. Finished him off. All blood came out of his head. So this is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, I was just describing Balaram. But these two, Krishna and Balaram, they're very special among all the different incarnations. Of course, Krishna is the original form of God. Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. But Balaram, he's also, because only Krishna and Balaram, these two, they reciprocate the very sweet mellows of Vrindavan, which other forms of God. That same intimate sweetness is not there. Sweetness is there. In Vaman avatar, there's also sweetness. In all the different avatars, how they're interacting with their devotees, there's also sweetness. But the special sweetness is there in Vrindavan. So Krishna and Balaram, they are the most special forms of God. Of course, even more special is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he is avatare sa Chaitanya avatar. He is the essence of all incarnations. Because even that sweetness, he's made it available to everybody. And the sweetness of Krishna's lila becomes more sweet when understood in relation to Gaur lila. Then that's described as Madhurya Prachurja in Chaitanya Charitamrita. The sweetness becomes more overflowing because we can enter into that by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here we see it's just like I was saying yesterday, the atheists, they simply take this to be stories. But the acharyas, those who are great devotees of Krishna, from every word and from every incident of Bhagavatam, because these are the pastimes of the unlimited Supreme Lord, Namanyanantasya Shongitana Yachshrivanti Gayanti Grinanti Sadhava, those who are sadhus, those who are great devotees, they accept the pastimes of the Lord, they hear, they chant the pastimes of the Lord, and they find that these pastimes, that is unlimited. Yang Shama Sundaram Achintya Guna Swarupam, his form of Krishna, that very unlimited transcendental quality. So Krishna is unlimited, his names are unlimited. One name for Krishna is Sahasranam. You'll find in the Vishnu Sahasranam, you'll find the name Sahasranam. He has 1,000 names. But actually he has so many names. Even beyond Vishnu Sahasranam, there's also Gopal Sahasranam. Then we also have, there's one nice book I saw composed in the Dalab Sampradaya. So many names of Krishna, all taken from Bhagavatam. There's so many names. Just here, in Bhagavatam, you'll find so many names. Just yesterday, there's one name of Mother Yashoda came up, Manasvini. Now that name, Manasvini, that can be applied to other people also. But here it's specifically applied in this circumstance to Mother Yashoda. That's why you'll find many names of Krishna, they can be applied to others also. Jeshta, you find in Vishnu Sahasranam. Jeshta simply means elder. So that can be applied. Commonly someone will say, this is my brother, my Jeshta bhai, my elder brother. So he's also a Jeshta. But who is the eldest of all? Krishna. So all the names apply to Krishna. This way he has unlimited names. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he returned from Gaya, he was initiated by Ishwarapuri and he became intoxicated in love of God. He came back and was teaching in his school. Before he went, he was teaching Sanskrit. When he came back, he was also teaching Sanskrit, but then every single word he described to mean Krishna. That every word can be understood to mean Krishna. This way, that way, or another way. Everything, because everything is in relationship to Krishna. And every quality is ultimately a quality of Krishna. Even adharma is within Krishna, because nothing is separate from Krishna. Even non-religion, that also ultimately has its source in Krishna. That Krishna describes in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, that from Him everything comes. Dharma, adharma. Everything comes from Krishna. So everything is ultimately Krishna. So the acharyas, they don't see simply some story, some little child. You may think it's just like some fanciful story without much meaning, but every incident described is full of so much meaning that the acharyas, they're writing commentaries, and their commentaries, you may think this is a very big book, Srimad Bhagavatam. And then if you read the commentaries also, practically if you wanted to read all the commentaries, first of all you have to learn Sanskrit. But there are more than 60 commentaries have been made on Bhagavatam. So if you wanted to read them all, practically it's a lifetime's job to read them all. So you such big elucidations. But then the acharyas, which commentary, the commentary they're giving, that also is only very limited. There, you think it's a very big, big commentary on a big, big book, but actually they're only giving a little. Because every word, you can write hundreds and thousands of books. But because of our limitations, because we're jivas, we can only write so much, we can only comprehend so much, we only have so much time. Otherwise, the great devotees, it's the natural function of a devotee to glorify Krishna. We have in the path of Vaidhi Bhakti, we have, it said, devotee, they should perform kirtan, they should study Srimad Bhagavatam, these told, you should do this. But for a devotee who is jatarati, who his taste for Krishna consciousness has awakened, then he doesn't have to be told that you have to chant Hare Krishna. Naturally, he does. Not even naturally, but there's no question of him not doing it. It springs automatically. That is real kirtan, which springs automatically from the soul. So this will go on. This writing about Krishna, speaking about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, that is the natural function of the soul. That is why also we have Bhagavatam class, that's also kirtan. Natural function of the living entity is to glorify Krishna. Sometimes there's a verse with only two or three lines purport, so they always say, well, we have to speak on the next verse. You can't speak on that. Why not? Two or three lines about Krishna, you can speak your whole life. Just the very name Krishna, that in itself, then Ananta Shesh, he's glorifying Krishna with thousands of mouths since time immemorial. He's never repeated himself and never will, and he'll never come to the end. So there's no shortage of subject matter. We know also that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur made one daily newspaper, Nadia Prakash, daily newspaper, new discussion of Krishna. So one politician, scholar, Madan Mohan Malavia, famous name. I don't know how famous he is now. So he was surprised that how is it you can make a daily newspaper about Krishna consciousness? How is it possible? So Saraswati Thakur said, here in this Calcutta city, we have 13 newspapers just talking about this material world, about this little planet, this tiny, in this one little city, we have 13 newspapers to describe what is going on this tiny little planet. This is only one tiny little planet in one tiny universe, and there are millions of universes, and all the material universes together are only one quarter of the total manifestation. The main manifestation is that of the spiritual world, and Krishna is the master of the spiritual world. There's so much going on in the spiritual world. He said, we can make dozens of newspapers every second, but no one is there. Where is the interest for people to read them? We have no shortage. We have no shortage of activities. We have no shortage of subject matter. We can chant, we can read, we can study, we can preach, we can perform arati. Someone was asking me, they got information that there was Abhishek on Janmashtami in our Vrindavan temple at 10 o'clock in the morning as well at night. They said, well, why in the morning also? Who said, you can do Abhishek many times as you can, because it's not that you should not do Abhishek. You do. That is for Krishna. Unlimited ways to serve Krishna. Hare Krishna. Are those the members you are speaking about? You were telling me yesterday? Ram is Balaram. And then you think, in that case, Ram, actually that means Radhika Ramana. Krishna who gives, Rama means, Ram indicates pleasure. So Ram in Mahamantra means Krishna who gives pleasure to Radha. It also means Balaram. In that case, Hare is to be understood as the Shakti of Ram. Ram also has his own internal potencies, especially Revati. But the principle is there. they're praying, please engage me in your service. That has to be done through the energy of Krishna.